If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23. I'll read the first 14 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul saw him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. Let's pray. Father, we are so blessed to have the word. We pray, Lord, that it would be our life, be our light, and that it would reveal especially the Lord Jesus Christ to us. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, there's one thing that I know that each and every one of you, including me, did this past week. You made decisions. Some were easy, some were difficult. Some you didn't even think about. Others you had to give much thought to. And as you look back on this past week, you probably feel good about some of those decisions. Others you may regret. But in all your decision making, did you inquire of the Lord? Did you ask for his counsel and his direction? Well, in our passage today, as I said, in contrast to Saul, we find David in the land of Judah inquiring of the Lord. How he got to where he was, 1 Samuel 22, verse 5 says, "The prophet Gad said, 'Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah.'" And so that's what David, again, is obeying the word of the Lord in that instance from the prophet. And remember, David is on the run from Saul, who wants to kill him. And not only was Saul after David, but he would kill, as we saw, the priests were slaughtered. And because they helped David, anyone else who helped David was certainly in danger as well from Saul. So in verse 1 of our text, someone informs David that the Philistines were fighting against the people in the town of Keilah, which must have been nearby. They were robbing their grain. They were threatening their life and livelihood. And of course, we wouldn't fault David if he didn't think to himself, I really don't have time and to worry about Keilah right now. He had enough on his plate. He had Saul dealing, you know, breathing down his neck. He had 600 men to somehow get provisions for and to gather around, maybe to train and to lead them. And he had to be on his guard against anyone who might betray his whereabouts to Saul. He had to always keep his eyes open and watch his back, looking over his shoulder. And as I said earlier, as we read earlier in 1 Samuel, David said to Jonathan, he said, there's but a step between me and death. So, and yet David is concerned about the city of Keilah, about the people there. They were God's people. And in verse 2, we read, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? That was his instinct to want to defend the people of God. And that's what David was good at. He was good at going to war and defending God's people. And so he asked God whether he should go or not. He was faced with a decision to attack or not to attack. And again, we would not wonder if David might have been hesitant because of the small number of men and resources that he had going against the Philistines. So David was not sure. Have you ever been in that place in your life? I'm not sure what to do. I have a decision to make. Well, clearly David here wanted to help. But whether it was the right or the wise thing to do was another matter. So David immediately went to the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. We're not told exactly in verses 2 and in verse 4 how that, how he inquired. It's possible that he went to the prophet Gad and Gad spoke the word of the Lord to him. It's also possible, as we see later, David making use of the ephod, the Urim, and the Thummim that were in the ephod of the priest. The text doesn't tell us exactly in this place, so there's two possibilities. But David's example, you see, in this chapter teaches us the importance of seeking God's counsel and direction when we don't know what to do. And there are a lot of decisions, of course, that we make every day that we don't need to ask the Lord about. And, things like, your bills are due. Should you pay them or not? Well, yeah, you should pay your bills. But what if you don't have the money? Then that's something that you really need to seek the Lord about and seek His guidance and wisdom. Where are you going to come up with the money if you don't have it to pay your bills? In the book of Proverbs, the familiar verses of chapter 3 are helpful here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So here's God in His providence bringing David into a difficult situation where he didn't know what to do. But this was, again, God is teaching David. He's preparing him for the throne. And God's preparing us, too, for service and future usefulness in His kingdom. And so God is teaching David this lesson of dependence. We like independence, don't we? Especially, as Americans, we're kind of bent that way to be independent. But human nature is we don't like to have to depend on other people. We don't like to have to depend on God, but that's what we were created with, that need to depend on the Lord. So God had plans to bless David and to bring him to the throne, but he also needed to build David's character, and we see this taking place today to prepare him for that throne and those responsibilities. In Ezekiel 36, we find a situation where God is speaking to Ezekiel and giving him a promise that God's going to bring them back to the land. He's going to rebuild them and cause them to live there once again. And so God said, I'm going to bring it to pass. But then in verse 37 of Ezekiel 36, we read this. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet, for this where I promised, be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. So God had promised something, but he says, but I want to be inquired of to do this. I want my people to seek me. When God promises something, that's an indication for us to inquire of the Lord, to pray, to seek him. And so God promised to be with David, to direct his steps, to protect him, to provide for him. And yet for this, you see, he would be inquired of by David. And that's what we see David doing today. And the Lord wants to guide your steps and direct your way in life. And he wants you to learn to lean on him. To lean on him and not your own understanding. To lean on him and not your past experience. To lean on him and not some other human being. Though God may use another human being, like he used the prophets and others in David's life. But he wants you to trust him. And the answer to David's inquiry came in verse 2. And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Well, that's a nice, direct, specific answer. And yet, his men were hesitant. And they were very honest in their reply to David. We're afraid. And, you know, here in Judah, we're afraid to be where we are, much less if we get involved and help, you know, Keilah against the Philistines. And I don't think they were being cowardly here. I think they looked at the situation and they did not see a good outcome at all. You know, why pick a fight with the Philistines? We've got plenty going on. And, you know, here's a test, you see, now, not so much of guidance for David in faith, but now of his leadership. He's already gotten the answer. He's ready to go and attack the Philistines. But his men were not. How is he going to handle this? And so David, knowing his men needed this reassurance, inquired of the Lord again. You know, there are other places in Scripture. We think of Gideon, who inquired twice with the fleece and the dew, you know, and so forth. And that was probably a lack of faith. But David here is doing this for the sake of his men. And he is not here, when he says he's inquiring of the Lord, he's not simply praying. He is seeking a word from God. He needs an answer. And this is what he gets. So what he's doing here by his example is teaching us the importance of living by the word of God. There is prayer involved, yes, but it's really he's seeking an answer. He's seeking a word from God, and that's what we need. David lived in a time when God was revealing himself through prophets, through the Urim and the Thummim, which no one seems to know exactly what that was. But, you know, it was what God used to speak and answer with in those days. These methods are not available to us today. You know, many Christians, and probably all of us, would love to have a very specific, detailed word from God about our life. You know, what I should do in this situation and whatnot. But we don't have direct words from God like that today, but we have something better. We have the complete revelation of God in Holy Scripture. And we have the indwelling Spirit of God who enables us to rightly interpret and apply that word. Now, that involves some work, some effort. It involves inquiry. It involves study. And so we take our needs to the Lord in prayer, and then we go to his word for answers. Yeah, we speak to God through prayer, and he speaks to us through his word. It's a very simple concept, but one that does not change for us. And so God is still speaking today. He is speaking loudly and clearly through his word. But we have to dig into it. What does Psalm 19:7 say? It says that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple-minded doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know which way to go. But the one who is wise does. Do you need that wisdom in making a decision? Well, open your Bible and seek the wondrous things from God's Word. You know, Psalm 119:98, the psalmist says, through your commandments, you make me wiser than my enemies. Well, that's exactly what David, you know, what God's Word does for him in this situation. He's wiser than they are. He's one step ahead of them. Why? Because he's trusting in the Word of the living God. And so if you have uncertainty about your way and what you need to do, what direction you need to go in a particular area of your life, then don't go by your feelings. Don't go by your experiences. Don't go by hunches. Go, yes, ask for counsel from others, but go to the Word of God. Go to God and trust in Him alone. A.W. Pink comments, he says, we always lose by acting independently of God, but we never lose by seeking counsel, guidance, and grace from Him. We have a very personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let's go directly to Him, as God has said that we can do. Verse 4, David inquires of the Lord again, and the Lord answered and said the same thing. Go down to Keilah, I'll deliver the Philistines into your hand. That was enough for the, for his men to be reassured, and they went down there, they fought the Philistines, they struck them with a mighty blow, they took away the livestock, and they, it says that David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. He became their savior, didn't he? Well, you know, Saul was actually called and commissioned to be Israel's savior, especially with regard to the Philistines. If you go back to chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, verse 16, God had told the prophet Samuel that concerning Saul, he said, you shall anoint him commander over my people that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. So here's David now taking over the role that Saul had. Saul wasn't even concerned for the people of Keilah to save them from the Philistines. Instead of pursuing them, Saul was pursuing David. Something wrong, of course, with this picture. And so Saul was unfaithful to his calling, as we read the scripture from Chronicles earlier in the bulletin. And for that reason, you know, he didn't keep the word of the Lord and didn't inquire. And God turned the kingdom over to David. It's going to happen. It just takes, it's taking time for us to get there as we read. But David, then, you see, in this situation, was given a commission and a promise. Go down, attack the Philistines, you'll overcome them. You'll win the victory. And, of course, God's given us a calling and a commission as well. We're called in the New Testament to make disciples. And Jesus said, I'll be with you. As you seek to win the lost to yourself, as you preach the gospel, I'll give you victory. So, like David, we need to be found faithful, not unfaithful like Saul. Are we faithful to the commission that God has given us? Are we striving to be faithful to that commission? And the path to faithfulness and victory lies in making sure that at every turn we're seeking God's counsel, His wisdom, His grace, in the Word and in prayer, and everything that we do. We need to bathe everything in prayer. We need to saturate our souls with His Word, and then we'll be found faithful. In verse 6, we read, now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. You see, he was the only priest to escape that slaughter, the only one left alive. And wisely, he took the ephod, the priest's ephod. All priests wore an ephod, but the high priest's ephod had the Urim and the Thummim in it to where God would speak through this. And so God is working, you see, to rebuild his kingdom with David. Saul's been out of the picture as far as God is concerned. Saul's still in his position, but God's working behind the scenes with David to rebuild the kingdom. But to have a kingdom, if it's going to be God's kingdom, you need three things. You need a prophet, a priest, and a king. David is the king, the anointed king. Gad, the prophet, has come among David and his men, so he's got a prophet. And now Abiathar, the priest, comes with the ephod. And so we read in the New Testament, what do we see about this matter of prophet, priest, and king? Is that Jesus now is the true anointed, the son of David, who is greater than David, who is a prophet, a priest, and a king. You know, David was king, but he was also a prophet himself. But he was not a priest. Jesus was all three. And so as we rely on Christ's leadership as king, that means he will defend us. He will protect us and defeat all our enemies, just as we see David doing in this situation. And as priest, we know that he offered up himself once and for all for our sins, and that he lives to now at God's right hand to intercede for us. And then when we look to him as our prophet, our catechism says that that Christ as a prophet reveals to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. So Jesus executed all three offices on earth, and he continues to execute all three offices in his exalted state. So God's, you see, supplied David with every office needed to rebuild the kingdom. And God has given his son today to us, to his church, as our prophet, priest, and king. So Jesus is all we need. He's our all-sufficient Savior. Now, when Saul found out David had gone to Keilah, he assumed, because it was an enclosed city, that God had delivered David into his hand. He just assumed that that was the case. He did not inquire of the Lord in this matter at all. He presumed to know the will of God without seeking that will from a prophet or priest or from the word of God itself. So he saw the providence of God. He saw what was going on, and he misinterpreted that providence. That's so easy for us to do, unless we are seriously seeking the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians today look for signs and providences, and they see something and they take it as a sign, just without really looking into the scriptures, without thinking about it, without praying, without inquiring of the Lord. You know, I think a lot of Christians would not get into trouble if they stop to go and talk to those that the Lord has called today to teach and preach the word of God. They're not infallible, but they are a big help in interpreting scripture and examining providences, you know, in a person's life. I mean, here you have a situation. Just imagine a situation. You have someone's been praying, you know, about something. And whether God to open or close a door, right? And if the door is closed, how do we interpret that? You know, is that telling us God doesn't want us to go that way? What if God opens the door? Does that automatically mean that we should go that way? No, not necessarily. If the door is open, maybe it's a test that, yes, it's open, but that's maybe not where God wants you to go. You're willing to forego that open door. Or if the door is closed, maybe God wants you to persevere, to knock until that door is open, and to not give up. So we have to inquire of God to know his will in these matters. So we go to Scripture. And what do we find when we go to Scripture? You know, we find instructions. We find commands. We find warnings. We find promises. We find principles to live by. That's what we need. Things like that. We need the truth. We need clarity. We need perspective. We need examples like David and like Jesus, ultimately. We need wisdom. This is what we find in the Word of God, and much more. Much more. And these are things that will do us well when we are inquiring of God in everyday life. He will lead us. Now, Saul, without a word from God without revelation. He didn't seek or inquire of the Lord. Calls his men together to go against David and his men. Well, David finds out that Saul's plotting evil against him. What's his response? Well, he turns now to Abiathar the priest and he says, bring the ephod. Bring the ephod. And David again inquires of the Lord. So this time we know it's the ephod that's being used. And, two questions. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? And second, will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Logically, it seems like the questions should be reversed, but it doesn't matter. The interesting thing to me is why does David ask, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? I mean, he had just delivered them. You would think, of course, they're going to, want to be supportive of David. But we also remember that, anyone who helps David, is under threat of Saul. So maybe they gave in to fear. And David's wondering, right? He really doesn't trust the people of Keilah. He trusts the Lord. And he wisely did not put his trust in man. Jesus also was said, by the way, that he didn't trust any, put his trust in man. And Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes every word. Maybe the people of Keilah were saying, we'll support you, we'll support you. But the prudent considers well his steps. David knew that that they may not be loyal. So I better ask God. So he depends on the Lord because the Lord alone is our shepherd. He leads us in paths of righteousness and paths of safety. Next week, we're going to hear a message from Bob Anderson on Psalm 23. He said he's been doing some extra studying on this familiar chapter in the Bible, this wonderful shepherd psalm. But the Lord is our shepherd. And so the Lord answered David's two questions. Saul's going to come down. And yes, the men of Keilah are going to deliver you into Saul's hand if they have the opportunity. But what now? It's interesting. Now, David doesn't ask, well, what should I do then? Because he knows he needs to just flee. That was the only option. And so he and his 600 men leave Keilah and Saul calls off the expedition. So we see on the one hand, David inquires of the Lord and he was delivered by God. And Saul, on the other hand, does not inquire of the Lord and his plans are thwarted. He assumes God's will and presumes upon it and it doesn't come to pass the way he thinks because he doesn't seek the Lord. You know, Proverbs says a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's what we need to remember in life. And then in David's case, we see the truth of Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, it implies that David, of course, and that you and I are walking with God. If we're walking with God, our steps are ordered by the Lord. Verse 14 in our passage concludes, and David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So even though Saul pursued David relentlessly, God protected him continually. You know, first, it reminds me of Saul reminds me of the devil, you know. I mean, he really is doing the devil's work here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to destroy David, a godly man. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so Saul is being led by the devil and to do his bidding, seeking to devour David, but David is being sober. He's being vigilant. He keeps inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord keeps protecting him, and he keeps escaping. And you and I are under constant attack from the Lord. The devil really is seeking whom he may devour. He would devour you and me. He would destroy us, destroy our faith. And we see this happen, right? People who once believed, or at least seemed to, once were in the church, once testifying of God's grace in their lives, but today they're not. Today, they may not even say they believe in Jesus Christ. We can be certain that this is the devil's work, right? He has brought it about, but our only recourse is to be vigilant and seek the Lord and inquire of Him and ask for His protection. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the bottom line. Because our enemy, the devil, will never leave us alone. Not until we leave this world. But Christ will enable us to persevere to the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He begins the good work and He completes it in our lives. And so He saves us, not from the Philistines, but from sin, from Satan. He saves us not from Saul, but from death itself. You know, the unbeliever has a lot worse, a lot more to fear than just physical death. You know, you and I may be afraid to die, but we shouldn't be. But they need to be afraid of what happens after death. Unless Jesus is their Savior, the unbeliever will spend eternity being tormented and punished. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, "The devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever." One day, the devil will not torment us. He will be tormented. And we who know the Lord need not fear the devil or the punishment that he will suffer. And if we were followers of Him, we would suffer because we don't follow Him. Jesus is our Savior. He has rescued us and will continue. He's the prophet, priest, and king that we need. He's the only thing we need. He's everything we need. I like, as we close, what Robert Hawker said. It's in the bulletin, the bottom paragraph on the announcements page. And halfway through that paragraph, he says, he's talking about the Urim and the Thummim and the Ephod, and David, of course, was able to use them. But he says, "But reader, do not overlook our superior privileges. We need no more Urim, nor the Thummim, the Ephod, nor the altar. In Christ, we have all. He is the sum and substance of which those symbols were the shadow and figure. O precious Jesus, be thou my high priest, my ephod, my Urim, my Thummim, both altar and sacrifice. On thee would I offer up all my poor offerings, and from thee receive all I need." That's the lesson. Inquire of the Lord. In Him you will find all you need. Let's pray.